exit number 12278, reel 3.
We had a little anxiety sitting on the surface waiting for an aircraft, not being quite sure what nationality it might be. However, all was well, and they were transferred again by Falberg to go back to Gibraltar, whereas we then dived and went back to Gibraltar in slow time.
Can you remember the names of the others who were, you took on board?
With General Giro,
yes,
his son, and I can't remember the other Frenchman's names at this time. No, I can't.
Were you decorated for this work?
Not at the time, no, because I didn't believe that there was a. Some argument between Admiralty and or whoever looks after honours as to who was responsible, the Americans or them. But eventually the Americans did give me a medal for that and for the landings in Sicily afterwards.
What do you remember happening next after the Giro incident?
After we went off a patrol off Sardinia, I think. I'm not absolutely certain of that. But I think we were sent off our Sardinia to try and stop shipping which was reinforcing the Germans in Tunis.
Do you remember any of the details of that?
I don't think we saw very much on that particular patrol. We came back to Algiers at the end of that patrol. There we found that the landings had, I think, by then taken place in North Africa. And the Americans, who were, the Algiers setup has been in the St. George Hotel. Eisenhower and his team were all there, and the Americans had given us rest home for between patrols, and a jeep with two drivers to take people out to the this rest place, which was very pleasant in the bay. Close to Algiers, where there's accommodation, food, swimming, and all kinds of recreation for people, which I thought was very generous of them. However, we, after a very short while, we were asked to take the colonel of the Texas Rangers and another two American officers to go and survey the island of Lampedusa off the north coast of Africa, because they felt that shipping was being reported back to Italy from this island, which is still in Italian hands, and they thought it would be a good thing to take it. So we sailed round this Lampedusa island, again taking photographs, and the Americans examining the thing to see where they could land, which there are very few opportunities. And having done this, and this is just before Christmas 1942, we, on the final look round, remember the American colonel looking through the periscope rather longer than he ought to have done, saying that he'd seen a gun, and then he said there are people running up to it. And then he said, he ducked and said, somebody's fired. So he put the periscope down and went a little deeper. And then that night we surfaced to go to Bonn, where we'd been told to go and put them ashore.
To where?
Bonn in North Africa.
Bonn?
And
oh, Cape Bon.
Well, the port, the port that's just alongside there. There, as we surfaced that night, another submarine surfaced about 300 yards away from us, and we turned towards him, and he dived, and we dived. And about 100 feet down, we ran into him and damaged our bow. We then surfaced again, and the engineer officer and I went down on the fore casing to see what damage had been done. And we found that the torpedo tubes, the underwater torpedo tubes, had been damaged, and the ones in the casing seemed to be all right. And then very shortly after that, we saw another submarine on the surface going from west to east, and we then fired our two deck torpedoes at them. We watched the torpedoes going the line left in the water. And that nothing happened at the end, although they seemed to go through the submarine. And that's all we knew about it. We came into the harbour and went alongside the Admiral's cruiser to put the Americans ashore. We spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day in the harbour, and the next day went on to Algiers, where the depot ship examined the damage and decided that there was nothing that could be done locally, and we were then in the new year sent back to the United Kingdom to have a new bow put on. We went round the coast to just north of Newcastle, and I can't remember the name of the town again.
Bamborough?
No, further south than Bamborough.
Alnwick?
No.
Seaton?
No, it's nearer Newcastle than that. No, it doesn't come to me. I'll have to look at a map. Anyway, there we had a new bow put on, and while this was being done, I was asked to go to see flag officer submarines in outside London. And when I got there, I was told to go and report to the intelligence side in the Admiralty. And having got there, I met up with names of terrible judge. And anyway, we started off with making a life for a major of Marines, and eventually to take a body and land it in Spain. Major Martin was the, I cannot remember the judge's name now. Anyway, he was part of naval intelligence, and also there's an Air Force officer with him, a squadron leader who was from RAF intelligence, and we spent a pleasant time building up a character for this chap, Major Martin, in London, with theatre tickets and girlfriends and this sort of thing, clothing, buying him some uniform at Gives and whatever, so as to have sufficient evidence to put down with him.
Did you participate in concocting the story?
I had nothing to do with concocting the story, but I had the enjoyment of going round as with his ticket. So things like theatres and nightclubs and restaurants, because they had to have the extra man in for him, so that was an enjoyable period. When our repairs were completed, the submarine came round into the Clyde again, into Dunoon, and there a body was brought in a canister, and about the size of a torpedo, put down the torpedo hatch, and stayed there for our journey out to put him down on the coast of Spain.
Did you see the body?
Not until we unpacked him at the end of the journey, because he was in cold ice, so that he would be at the right age when he came out.
What did it look like?
He looked like very like an ordinary body when we unpacked him. We again, as I say, were given clear passage down from aircraft, but once again we were bombed three times on the way down to put him off. We were also told that we were not going to be required to attack anything, because this was more important. However, we were taken out of our safe passage line and told to go and attack some shipping going to Bordeaux. However, we never saw them, but thanks to the RAF bombing us. And then we arrived off the coast of Spain, where Spain joins Portugal, with the Huelva River coming down in between, and we went up towards the Huelva River at night. We were just about to surface when a fishing fleet went over the top of us, going out to collect sardines. Anyway, we surfaced behind them, and close inshore, where we thought that the eddies from the river coming out would take the body inshore, we took the end off this canister, brought the body out, checked that he'd got his papers and everything on him, and then slid him over the side, went full astern on the motors so that he'd be pushed in the right direction to start. He said what I could remember of the funeral service over him, and then secured the canister to the casing and dived and went out. And at daybreak we surfaced to try and get rid of the canister, because this was supposed to be meteorological equipment, filling in a gap in the meteorological office's equipment in London. And we had a hell of a time doing this because it had been so designed to keep the ice from melting. It had pockets all the way around it. And we'd put about 200 bullet holes through it from machine gun, and nothing had happened at all. We then had to go alongside it again and put some plastic explosive inside and outside and round it, and then withdrew while it blew up, and it then disappeared finally. And then we went on to Gibraltar, arriving the next day in the evening. And as we arrived, somebody came over the gangway with a telegram which said that the body had been received, so we knew that it had arrived safely. We then had a short period in Gibraltar. We were then told to take all our torpedoes out and to fill up the torpedo tubes and the magazine and the torpedo racks with wines and spirits for the depot ship in Gibraltar, in Algiers.
Just coming back to the body incident, what was the worst part of doing the operation?
I don't think there was any worst part, really. It was what was expected. The only thing that I think was difficult is that no one except myself knew that it was a body until we came to put it over the side. I then had to tell the officers because I couldn't do the whole thing on my own. And we got only officers on the bridge as lookouts and everything else. Myself and the engineer officer, who went down on the casing because we had to take the canister to bits to get the body out. It was a tubular canister, the width of a man, as you can imagine. So I had to tell the officers then, and I also had to tell them that in no circumstances at any time was this to be mentioned. And this is really the worst time that we had, I think.
How did they all react when you told them?
I think they were a little surprised. I think some a little shocked. And I think one or two were not very keen to be going down on the casing, so it was probably just as well that I went down with the engineer officer.
What do you think in particular shocked them?
Well, I don't think I doubt if any of them had seen a dead body at that time.
This was the famous man who never was?
This is the man who never was, yeah.
And can you say something about the object of doing this?
The object of doing this is he had papers on him for the for Eisenhower, for the Commander-in-Chief in North Africa, and for the Admiral, to say that rather than going for Sicily, the landings, the attack was to be on the south coast of Greece. And as a result, I believe that the Germans withdrew an armoured division and sent it right round through Italy and down the other side towards Greece, so that they were at least a division nest in Sicily when the landings took place.
So you were fully briefed from the beginning as to the whole idea of it, were you?
No, I was not. I was told afterwards what the papers had said. Saying I hadn't seen the papers. All I knew was, I mean, it was dark on the casing, so I couldn't read the papers. All I knew that they were there in his dispatch case.
But you presumably knew it was some kind of spoof.
Yes.
And you were just told as much on the need to know principle.
That's right. I was only told what I exactly I needed to know. I was informed that I was going to there would be a body. I knew it was a body when it came on board.
Do you know when it was that you did the operation?
To the day, I wouldn't be sure. It must have been in March or April of 1943.
How did you yourself feel about doing this kind of work?
Well, I had seen bodies before. My father is a doctor, a surgeon. My brothers are doctors. My sister had worked with a hospital. She's a radio operator. So I wasn't that worried by it.
Did you enjoy doing the operation?
I'm not sure enjoyment is the right word, but I was very glad to see that everything went according to plan. Well, having got to Algiers, we were next told to go to Oran, where we were going to be briefed about the landings in Sicily by the Americans. General Patton came down to see us. It was quite obvious he didn't think very much of his allies going into Sicily, and really fairly short with us. Admiral King from America was also there, who came to thank us for taking part. Anyway, we had a description of what General Patton expected of us. We then went back to...
What personal impression did Patton make on you from his appearance and manner?
Somewhat conceited, I would say. Very rudely outspoken.
Did he carry the famous revolver?
Oh, everything, yes. His pearl-handled revolvers on each hip. But he didn't, after Mark Clark, he didn't really make a very good impression, I would say. Anyway, we went back to Algiers and then prepared to take out or to go to our marking position off the west coast of Sicily. We were given a marker to put on the bottom, which put out ASDIC signals, which we were told to put on the spot where we were supposed to be in case we weren't actually dead on the spot. So we had to put this down by taking, the lights were still on in Sicily at that time, and by taking angles on the lights, we got our position dead right and then dropped the marker over the side. So
what did the marker look like?
It was only just a round thing about that deep.
About a foot deep?
Yeah. Which just let off signals every few seconds.
Which beach was it that you were marking?
Which was the bottom one of the three of the American beaches.
I've forgotten. It doesn't matter, it's on the record anyway.
Yeah. While we were putting it down, an e-boat. It was fairly thick fog actually that night. But we hadn't checked our position very carefully. While we just after we'd put it down, we were still on the surface, and an e-boat came practically alongside. Fortunately, he didn't see us, and we dived and kept out of the way for about half an hour before surfacing again. Then, later that night, we had surfaced to be the surface marker, if you see what I mean, and the first American ships came past us. We had a signal from the Admiral, said thank you very much for being in position, you can set off now for Malta. So we set off for Malta, and very shortly afterwards we heard somebody shouting in the water, and we picked up an American soldier who jumped over the side, apparently, and very shortly after we picked up another. And then when we arrived in Malta, these two were flown back into Sicily to take on with war.
What condition were they in?
Well, I think they were very good condition, very happy. They had their life belts on. I think they'd only dropped over the side not to be involved in the initial landing. From Malta, we were sent to patrol across the Gulf between Sicily and North Africa. When the Germans were putting in fairly heavy reinforcements, there were two lines of submarines put right across the bay, so that any transports would have to go through. The first line of when we dived at that, or rather when we surfaced at night, the first the inshore squadron came through right over the top of us, so we had to dive to get out of the way of it. So we lost about 2 hours in that. And while they were doing their stuff up on the top, we were fairly deep. We then came up to the surface when the coast cleared a bit, and saw three looked like large liners on fire on the surface. Then nothing else came through, as far as I remember, that night. And when we surfaced at dawn, the whole area was flooded with